This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. You're listening to a special edition iFanboy podcast, Batman Gotham Knight. Fanboy podcast. We're talking Batman Gotham Knight. My name is Connor. I'm usually here with Josh and Ron, but neither one could make it. So this time I'm sitting here with two iFanboy writers, Paul Montgomery.
Hello.
And Jim Ski.
Hey, how's it going?
You can see
how I adopted that name.
I don't want to butcher your last name. I'm sorry. How do we say your last name?
Mrachkowski, if you absolutely have to.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. So we're going to talk about Batman Gotham Knight, which is the third release in DC's direct-to-DVD animated feature line. They started with Superman Doomsday, then we went to Justice League, The New Frontier, and now Batman Gotham Knight, which is sort of an anime-style Batman anthology, which ties in tangentially to the Batman films, Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, which is coming out. It's sort of set in the same universe, but really not. It's sort of some sort of strange amalgam. But this was a series of, was it six stories?
Six
stories, all shortish in length. I don't know, like 5-6 minutes. I didn't really pay attention to the length. But they were all written by and directed by different people. Greg Rucka, the writer, wrote one episode. Brian Azzarello wrote one. David Goyer, who wrote the Batman Begins, wrote one. Alan Burnett, one part of the Batman animated series trilogy of dudes, he wrote one. And it was all done in anime style. So this is basically the background of the disc. We're going to talk about the disc now, so there'll be some spoilers, so if you haven't seen it yet, pause the show, come back later. What did we think of Batman Gotham Knight?
Do you guys have a DVD player with a remain button? I have a button on my DVD player that I can hit that will tell me how much time is left in a movie.
And
the longer that I watched this, the more use that button got. Like, it got to the point where, like, you know, you're waiting for the walk sign to change and you keep going up and going, gah, click, 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 click. That I kind of got that way towards the end, I must confess.
Paul?
See, for me, less of that as it went along. I thought it got better as it went. But, yeah, so the opposite of diminishing returns, whatever
right.
That is.
Well, now, the last story was the strongest. I'll give you that.
Well, let's give a brief outline of each story. The first one was called Have I Got a Story for You? And it was a bunch of kids recounting their impressions of Batman. That was very similar to an episode of Batman the Animated Series called Legends of the Dark Knight, where a bunch of kids told their impressions of Batman. And in that version, all the versions that they told were from the comics. Like there was a Dark Knight Returns version, there was a Dick Sprang version, there was all the different kind of versions. In this one, it was all very dark. There was a one called Crossfire, which, what was that one about? That was the second one. That was
the Gotham Central one.
Yeah. Oh, right. That was a Greg Rucka one with Crispus Allen and not Montoya, but
Anna Ramirez,
who's in The Dark Knight. She's in the film. Field Test was Batman had
a James Bond one,
yeah.
Sort of.
Bulletproof Batman.
Oh, yeah, he had that weird gadget that made a force field around him.
Right.
The Darkness Dwells was by David Goyer, and that was with
Killer
Fallon.
Croc.
Killer Croc.
Mm-hmm.
Working Through Pain by Brian Azzarello was the one where Batman goes off to learn.
He learns that pain don't hurt like Swayze in Roadhouse.
He learns Zen, ability to deal with pain. And Deadshot was basically self-explanatory, where the hitman Deadshot comes to Gotham, Batman fights him, and that was it, I think, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I like them all to different levels, obviously, with anthologies, that's usually what it's like. I really enjoyed, for some reason, the off-kilter animation of the first story.
Interesting.
Very non-traditional, almost like an indie comic brought to life.
You know? That is exactly what I said to my wife, who was already checking out. I found that style really off-putting. Mm-hmm. Like, it seemed like the story with the kids and everything, it should have had kind of a light touch, and it was sort of just unpleasant to behold. I started to feel like Alex in A Clockwork Orange, like I was having my eyes held open. And
I actually felt it was odd to start with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you didn't really get the true Batman very much, and all you did was got these different versions. I mean, I understand the idea that these are different ideas of what Batman is, and now we'll show you what Batman is. Whereas, if you're not really a fan and not into it, it's weird to start where you don't really get the main character right away. The animation was definitely non-traditional, and I think it was probably why I liked it so much, but
yeah,
it was just an odd place to start with the film.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I knew what I was getting into. Like, I knew the conceit behind this anthology and, like, the style that it was going to... I didn't expect, like, a talking crab to come out of Gotham Harbor and sing Under the Sea or anything like that, you know? At the same time, like... The Batman shadow monster, whatever, but those kids were as creepy as the Batman was.
Right.
They looked like they had melted.
It's an unsettling animation style. The movement is a little unusual, and it's not really what we're used to seeing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, I really liked it for that reason, but I definitely thought it was a weird choice to make. I mean, you could have started with a little more traditional stories. I liked Greg Rucka's Gotham Central story. Gary Dordain, who's from CSI, was the voice of Crispus Allen. There's a lot of familiar voices, and we should probably mention that Kevin Conroy was the voice of Batman, who very famously voiced Batman in Batman the Animated Series and in subsequent cartoons, and I kind of thought it was not a good choice.
I was glad that he was back, but I thought that the design of Bruce Wayne, as I thought of it here at home, David Bowie year one, was a very unique choice. Like, I didn't realize it was him when he came on the screen at first. Like,
which
he came
one
into
though?
That scene in Field Test, I guess it was. He comes onto the screen for the first time as Bruce Wayne, and I was kind of like, "Hey there, Ziggy Stardust, you got into mommy's hair gel."
That's the one where he played golf. he was playing golf in that one, right?
Yeah. And then he started talking, and I was like, "Oh my God, Kevin Conroy is in that little girl."
Yeah, that was where it really went off the range for me. It was one of the episodes. It was done, and he was done in a very Japanese style that he looked like he was about an 18-year-old Japanese man. And then Kevin Conroy's very booming voice comes out of it, and it was just too much disconnect for me there. They should have gone with someone else. And the other thing is, he's older now, and his voice has changed a little. It's still Kevin Conroy, but he sounds like an old, not old man, because he's not old, but he sounds like an older man. And so when you put him in a body of a young Bruce Wayne,
he doesn't no say way we that
can
was do working.
Whatever, whether he sounds like an old man or not, we can all agree he doesn't sound like an androgynous glam 70s superstar.
Yeah, I think that was the worst. I think it works okay in some of them, and it worked okay when he was in the suit. But overall, I thought they really should have just gone in a different direction. It was just odd. I mean, I really actually quite enjoyed it. I had a good time with it. I really liked Working Through Pain. I liked the psychological aspect of it. I loved the final shot of him holding all the guns that he found in the sewer.
I like that one as well.
I must have... I didn't think I was going to make it. If Deadshot hadn't come after that, I don't know. I'd be a pile of bones on my couch right now, I think.
Can we all agree that Deadshot is the best one of the bunch?
Yes.
Okay.
I found it visually interesting. I found it exciting to watch. I cared what was going to happen next. Like, the one with Killer Croc and the Scarecrow, there was a moment right around the time when Scarecrow started shrieking the way that the movie Scarecrow never would have done, that I was like, it was building to the climax, and suddenly I looked around and realized that I had been following Twitter for the last 5 minutes and something was happening. Like, oh, Batman's getting flushed out of that sewer somehow.
Which is funny because that was the one that David Goyer wrote, who was the writer of the film.
Yeah, it was the most.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like that one because it made the Scarecrow out to be, I thought he was presented in a scary way. And I'm not used to seeing that in any other interpretation of the Scarecrow. Like thinking back to the animated series, like he's more one of the like bumbling, you know, villains. And in this one, I actually thought that they did a pretty decent job with that.
I think that's something they started with Batman Begins, because he was, you know, he was kind of scary. In it.
Right, well, yeah, true. And yeah.
I think the fact that Batman is so malleable, he can appear in almost any form, in any kind of genre, and he kind of works because the idea of him is so primal. And I liked the different interpretations. Now, I didn't like the literal interpretations all the time. There was one design for Batman's outfit that was just crazy.
Was that the bulletproof one that looked like the bad guy from Battle of the Planets?
Yes. It was just like... Yeah. You know, one looked very close to the films, one looked very close to the comics. The first one where he was all over the place, but there was that one armored Batman, and I just thought...
The field test one?
I think
with
that
the,
was it. Yeah,
the
yeah, yeah.
Was just, it like the helmet?
Yeah. Yep. Not everything worked. Not every choice worked, but I think overall, on balance, I had a good time with it. I really liked it more than I thought I would. I bought it sight unseen, you know, when it first announced, I went ahead and ordered it right away, because why not?
Well,
and
it seems like such a sure bet.
Well, I think,
and I guess
I
in your case it was.
Yeah, I mean, it worked out. I had a fun time watching. You know, some of it was... You know, my eyes wandered for a couple of stories, but overall, I quite enjoyed it.
It sounds like you didn't expect much out of it and ended up enjoying it a great deal. I was, like, hopping from foot to foot by the mailbox waiting for the Netflix envelope to arrive, and I was like, like, the air got slowly let out of me the longer that I watched it.
Well, are you an anime fan?
I'm sure a real anime fan would say, no, I'm not. But, you know, I like the Animatrix. What does that get me? Anything?
I don't know.
Well, that's pretty much the same idea as this.
Yeah.
Well, okay, for me, I pre-ordered this on Blu-ray, no less. I feel like this is more of a rental for me, really. I don't know how much I'm going to go back to this.
Yeah, I don't think there's a very high rewatchability in it, that's for sure.
It's sort of an interesting experiment, and I'm glad I checked it out. But I would say to anyone out there, if you're on the fence, I'd say like at least rent it, do the Netflix thing first, and try it, because it's definitely not
funny. I mean, I don't want the time back. But I was very aware of how much time it was, like down to the second for a while there.
Who do you think this was for?
You know?
Because it's all over the place. It's not really,
I had that conversation at home as it was happening. I said, when the hell is this for exactly? Like, you know, my wife is exactly the person that Josh was writing about on the site the other week about how comic book movies haven't translated into comic book sales, you know? She has never expressed even an iota of curiosity about all these periodicals that are stacked up all over her house. But anytime, like, Hellboy, shit, yes, Fandango, go, right now. Like, so we're always the first in line for the movies. So she didn't know this existed. So when I pulled it out of the envelope, I was like, honey, Batman movie. And so she sat down with me. And by the time Chris and not Montoya got to Arkham, she was like, you know, I'm going to turn in. Like she was, you know, kind of stretching and heading up the stairs. So I don't know if it's for the dilettante who liked Batman Begins. I don't know if it's for the comic book guy. I don't know.
I'd say anybody who is maybe in on the rush of the new Batman movie should check it out. And I think if you're a Batman fan, it's worth looking at. It's worth checking out if you liked Gotham Central and you want to see those characters, you know, like moving around and in fire and stuff like that.
Boy, that car was unfortunately parked, wasn't it?
And I don't think any of us are really that put off by any of the anime stuff, like other than Jimsky with the first one. So
I thought that was the least anime-like, my limited knowledge of anime.
It was more like a corn video.
It's sort of a modern thing that they're doing. I have somewhat of an anime background, so the first one, it's not traditional anime, but they're using that style more and more.
Every time somebody tries to animate Todd McFarlane, it ends up looking like this.
I thought it worked really interestingly. I don't know why. I liked it.
I kind of liked it as well. I thought it was interesting. And the way the camera moved in that was kind of cool. It's very naturalistic. So yeah, it's interesting. Mostly I'd say it's an experiment. And I'd say try it, you know?
Yeah. I was very worried that all the anime people would end up thinking I was a codger or something if I came out against it. Like I was, this doesn't look like Aladdin at all.
No, I think know, any like, of the...
That's Disney.
I mean, yeah. Well,
and any of the short...
Thing? You are a codger.
Any of the shortcomings, I think, with this are that they are so short, so you don't... Yeah. Any of the ones that you find interesting, you don't get to go into them enough. I felt like I would like to see a Deadshot movie. Like, that would be so cool to see that as a full-length episode or as a feature-length thing. And then some of them are too short to even get invested in at all.
That's probably the shortcoming of any anthology. Mm-hmm. The ones you really like, you don't get enough of, and the ones you don't like, you're with too long.
Yeah.
Well, I lost track for a little while. That one with the Indian female fakir, that one was that was 3.5 hours long, right?
I like that one, you caught
it. I like that one as well. And it had a cool flip in it.
Yeah, I thought the fight scene was great.
It was all leading up to that flip.
Yeah, and the puke.
I mean, after this, it's like, throw me an animated Gotham Central while you're at it, you know?
I would be on board for that, absolutely. More of Chris and not Montoya would be great by me.
I do think it's an interesting choice that they made to go with this style of film, to go off the popularity of Dark Knight or the anticipation of Dark Knight, to go with an anime anthology is an interesting choice, especially since they bumped Teen Titans, the Judas Contract, off the schedule for this film.
I didn't know that.
It was supposed to be the third film was originally announced as being a Teen Titans Judas Contract adaptation, which is now off the schedule completely. The next film is going to be Wonder Woman.
Is this another case of mainstream comic guys trying to use the manga and the anime to appeal to the young people today? Or is that just me being cynical?
I don't think so, because I mean, they're using actual like anime studios, like, and they're making a big deal about this is the individual studio. So I don't think so.
I don't think they're aping anime. I just wonder if they went with the studios and the directors that they did because it's some sort of attempt to appeal to what they think the next generation is into. And maybe that's why I don't know who this is for, because I don't know any 12-year-olds.
I don't think they think that. I think they know the next generation's into. It's not a question at this
point. Right, and I'd respect that over them trying to, you know, recreate themselves.
To ape it, mm-hmm.
Which doesn't go over so well.
No. People can smell fake, by and large. But, yeah, I don't know. It struck me as an interesting choice. But yet, at the same time, they're using Kevin Conroy. They're kind of trying to be all things to all people, which I guess is what an anthology can do to a certain extent. Like I said, I didn't hate it or anything.
I really wish they'd gone with another voice. I'm sorry. I know I'm going to get
another
email.
Voice or another Bruce Wayne design?
No, the voice. The Bruce Wayne design fit the universe. It just was the voice didn't click in my head because it belonged to a different kind of Batman.
It's interesting they didn't use him for, what's it?
New Frontier.
Yeah, and they went with a different voice for that, whereas you'd think something so alternative and, you know, an anthology, they'd go with the spirit of that and use different voices. And
I think Jimsky might be right in that they got to the point, because they didn't announce Kevin Conroy the voice till much later, and I wonder if they did the movie and they got cold feet in that, will the traditional fans buy this, so they threw Kevin Conroy in there. Again, this is my theory. They re-looped all the voices to have his voice in there to get the fans who are fans of Kevin Conroy to pick it up. Because I wonder if they saw this and realized, oh, this might be too much for traditional American audiences. I don't know.
Yeah,
I wonder if
it's a possibility.
Connor, could you say Jimsky could be right again?
Jimsky could be right.
Oh, in that. I never hear that.
Let me take some heat off of Jimsky, because I'm going to tell you, my least favorite was the Rucka one.
Gotham Central one.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, great, these characters that I love by the writer that wrote them, and then I don't think it delivered. I thought that a lot of the dialogue, like in the car, was just really bad. I thought it was terrible.
Well, there's that moment. There's
just
that moment.
Just to bring it in late the game.
They're like in a gigantic parking lot. One mob is on one side. The other mob is on the other side. A lone car is smack dab in the middle with two people in it kind of going, do you think they know we're over here? And then they all just begin firing on one another. They don't get behind anything. They don't duck. They just stand there and machine gun one another like they know that the opponent is stormtroopers or something. It's I didn't check out, but I sort of like wanted to join my wife upstairs.
I saw there was a lot of exposition in that and saying, like, as you know, we were handpicked for this division. And
I thought the conceit of that episode where they were somehow stuck in the middle and no one noticed was stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I enjoyed it anyway. I thought you had to sort of go with a lot of stuff in this one particularly. But I thought that was kind of ridiculous. How was the Russians and the
Italians.
The Italians didn't notice the car in the middle. Yeah, I thought that was kind of ridiculous. But you know, I thought it was, as Paul said earlier, it was an experiment. I thought it was a nice experiment. Yes. It was nice to see them try this. I wonder about the momentum of this line of films, in that they had fairly strong momentum coming off Doomsday, a lot of momentum coming off New Frontier, and then I wonder if this was too much of a departure.
Well, you know what, though? Actually, I think of the ones I've seen, and I haven't seen them all, I haven't seen New Frontier, I think this was the most successful in that B. Clay Moore way, where it did what it was trying to do, and that's all that matters. Like, just as fate would have it, right before we decided to do this podcast, I happened to catch Superman Doomsday on cable. That one, as much as I said, who is this for with Gotham Knight, I said, who the hell is this for Superman dude? Like, because it's in that kiddie animation style, but people are dying and cursing at one another. And like, it seemed to be like a jack of all trades and a master of none. Whereas Gotham Knight kind of seemed to say, this is what we're doing. Just full steam ahead and damn the consequences. Or so I, in that sense, I sort of appreciated it more. Now you would know better than I. I've only read half of New Frontier and haven't seen the movie at all. How successful that was.
It was extremely successful. Yeah.
Is he going to get fired because he hasn't read all of New Frontier?
He might. That'll be his next assignment.
I inadvertently bought half of it instead of buying all of it. You have to cut me some slack until I can get back to Borders.
We're going
to
have Darwin Cook punch you. That'll be your punishment. We'll bring him by your house.
And he seems like just the man to do it.
Overall, I think Jim liked it the least, and C+. Paul and I liked it more.
Yes.
I think I feel the same way as Paul. I really enjoyed it. But I don't know how often I'll pull it off the shelf to watch as opposed to New Frontier or Superman.
Yeah. I hope that you do pull it off the shelf and give it another look like 2 or 3 months from now when you're not in the thrall of Batmania. Because I want to hear how it holds up after the glow is off.
I'll do that as soon as you read and watch New Frontier.
I'm happy to do it. I didn't want to watch it until I read it.
All right. That's probably a good move anyway.
So I'll get right on it.
And Paul, you overall?
It's a solid rental. I'd say check it out. I really don't know. I thought the Deadshot thing was great. The other one's not as much, but it looked nice on Blu-ray.
Do you know what I imagine being said more than anything else at that animation studio? We need more brown. Get some more brown?
It's a very brown world he lives in.
Yes.
It's dirty.
Blu-ray can't fix brown.
You're a codger.
I can't help. You know, I'm not wishing that they were like the old Fleischer Superman cartoons or anything. I knew that I was going to get it if I said anything about the animation style.
Well, if anything, these are less racist.
Yes, exactly. Fair enough.
So this is Batman Gotham Knight. It's on DVD. You can rent it. You can buy it. It's from DC's animated line. And we'll be back at some point in the future to talk Wonder Woman. That's the next one that's coming out. Nathan Fillion and Kerry Russell.
Ooh, nice.
So we'll see how that goes. And until then, I'm Connor with Jim.
Hey.
And Paul.
And Paul. Hello. Goodbye.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.